Guild of Calamitous podcast contains language and discussions of subject and situations that may be deemed inappropriate for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Incoming Guild transmission. Welcome to the Guild of Calamitous podcast. Echo, November.
Hello!
Hi!
I'm Rilo, I'm your vet fan.
I'm Garden, I'm your baby fan.
And this is Guild of Calamitous Podcast, an unofficial Venture Brothers rewatch podcast. And we're joining an episode already in progress, so let's just jump in there, shall we?
I think we shall.
We're looking at the rest of the episode entitled What Color Is Your Clean Suit? Written by Doc Hammer and Jackson Publick, directed by Jackson Publick, with an original air date of June 22nd, 2013. Its episode number is 56. Our cast of characters and voice cast for today's episode are as follows. You got James Urbaniak as Dr. Venture and Jonas Venture Jr. Patrick Warburton as Brock Sampson. Michael Centernicholas as Dean Venture. Chris McCulloch as Hank Venture, Sergeant Hatred, The Monarch, Pete White, St. Cloud, Watch, Dr. Z, and Tim Tom. Doc Hammer as 21, Dr. Mrs. The Monarch, Billy Quizboy, Dermot Fichtel, Shoreleave, Ward, and Kevin. Kate McKinnon returning as Talia, Nikki Fichtel, and Mrs. Fichtel. And guest stars Aziz Ansari as Martin and Wyatt Senek as Tommy and Mr. Blunder.
So we left off last time, right after.
Halloween happened.
Halloween happened. We learned about Halloween.
And thus the real meat of this episode
begins.
So
we left off with the revelation of interesting genetic mutations.
Yeah. So the white class is developing second sets of arms. And I like that the way Billy talks about it. It's only really bad.
Only absolutely terrible.
Because he's been looking at all of these interns because they are having strange things happen to their body, just the orange and the white class, not the green class.
Yes.
Which is getting smaller in size.
It doesn't exist according to Billy.
Yeah, he doesn't see any green class. So the orange class are becoming Hulk-like monsters.
They're developing a carapace.
Uh-huh. The skin's so thick you can't get anything in. Like, you can't get a sample. No. And the white class have second sets of functioning arms and are starting to develop telepathy?
Telekinesis.
Uh-huh. Because, yeah, of course. But green class, which doesn't exist, is totally fine. And also, I guess Hatred has boobs now. Like proper
some actual like gazongas here,
which fucking, I mean, I guess why not? And St. Cloud has decided to register with the guild, which you can do very easily if you have money.
He can skip that first year just completely.
Yeah, because he
Watching Ward dropped a briefcase.
Yeah, well, because he donated to the Orphan and Widows Fund.
Yes.
At the guild, which the more bureaucracy and bullshit we learn about like the guild and its inner workings, it's just yes, feed me all of it. But he's become a registered villain under the name Augustus St. Cloud.
Going for the real name there.
Going for the real name. It's classy. And of course they had, Watch and Ward being literally the only people that actually work for the guild.
Yeah.
I like you.
Why have other people when you can just have Watch and Ward?
You can just have Watch and Ward. They're great. I mean, everyone loves them. Come on.
Seriously.
They're fantastic characters. Their banter is awesome. And in for joining up, he gets a tote bag.
Brilliant.
Guild handbook and instructional video. And normally you have to wait a year to pick your arch. But because he just, you know, slides a shit ton of money Watching Ward's way. Because the only reason he's becoming a villain and he has the banter to go for it is to get back at Billy. Get back at Billy. Because why not? Why not? Remember how, I guess I did bring it up last time. Monarch stole a white suit.
Yes.
He killed a Palom on the turn. He stole a white suit. He brought that home, don't worry. Which we get to see Sheila's lab the first time, which is nice. She's thoroughly, like, you know, inspecting this. And she noticed also the weird fucking radiation.
Oh, yeah.
It's like crazy, like whoever is wearing
crazy
this is,
radiation
is not having a, whoever wore this was not having a good time.
They were not having a good day.
No, it's just the fact that he's so obtuse to it. Not only that, back over at Hanko, it's starting to really unfold that they
things
have gone
are getting kind of weird.
Feral. They don't, the orange suits don't come in any bigger size, but don't worry, Dermot's there to give them a more bespoke fit. And they don't eat any snacks from the Hanko Grill.
They only eat student green.
Green. Yep. Which leads to hatred, you know.
First off, almost getting fired from the grill.
Almost getting fired from the grill, because, and I love that Dermot says, it's the economy, man. Like, I just like that Dermot has something to contribute,
like,
to that.
But also that's such a valid country, like, contribution.
Yeah, it is. Like, I like, Dermot really grows on you.
I know, why do I, like, now actually enjoy this character? I hate him.
But now we see the true horror that is the orange class. Their eyes are black.
Yeah, they now have no nose, and kind of sharpened Pac-Man faces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they only eat student green, which is people.
Brilliant Soylent Green reference there.
Right. Well, like, you know, you knew they had to. Just they were going to go in on the student green. And Doc is so obtuse, he has no idea that the green class is shrinking like crazy.
Because they keep getting eaten.
And now they have Sergeant Hatred. They have both Tommy and Sergeant Hatred. Tommy, the main assistant, who,
yes,
may he rest in peace. That's not gonna end well for him.
Poor buddy.
Poor buddy.
It's a madhouse in here.
It's a madhouse!
Planet, yeah, of the Apes, 1968. Beautiful, excellent, beautiful reference. I appreciate
it's
this.
So great. It's so great.
You know the best part? They're talking about sci-fi original movies.
Yeah, which
and
is
they're just throwing in the references.
Uh-huh. Well, they have the nerdness to back it up.
Oh, so, yeah. This is my jam.
While Doc is, you know, not working hard, he gets a call about the shield again, making sure it's ready when it's due tomorrow.
What's tomorrow?
And Doc, thinking that it's not done, says he needs to test it. To which
JJ calls him out on that pretty hard.
You would be on, you know, knee deep in spontaneous genetic mutation. The last guy to try that was is now billed as Paolo the Human Beetle.
Just, oh, Doc.
Like, of course. Like,
everyone but Doc knows.
Billy knows that that this is not good.
Yes.
Monarch clearly has the idea that the orange suits are big as Andre Giants, I think is how he worded it.
Yeah.
So they got to speed it up. And I love that Doc, having no idea what the fuck is going on, just tells Hatred that they have to speed it up while he and Tommy are tied up, likely to be feasted upon by the orange suits.
Yeah.
He's
not a fast sprinter.
No. He's not the fastest guy in the race. But I do like this exchange. The ray shield was completed long ago. You know, Martin plans to use it all to turn all of humanity into a child of Palamon. The guy's gone insane. There is a story among our people that there will come a savior, the Li Huntuk, and he alone will lead the children of Palamon to peace. Which shocks Hatred that they got going really fast, because they've only been there for 3 months and they have legends of saviors.
Oh yeah.
To which Tommy tosses out this line: "You're talking to a bunch of geeks from State University. You mutate that kind of outcast and it gets all sci-fi original real quick."
I mean, have you ever listened to a D&D group?
Yeah, no, like that's what it makes me think of. It's like, yeah, no, you give that power, that sort of power to a certain group of people. Like, this is why we have so many Sharknado movies. Like,
oh God.
Like, or other shark-based films. Like, I think one of my favorites that they did was Jersey Shore Shark, and it's exactly what you think it is. Like, yeah. You know, it's, but Tommy's not long for this world.
It's a madhouse.
Off in Dean World, he's really getting along with Thalia, which
they're so cute.
Yeah, I know, it's super promising. It's so sad this is not going to work out well.
I know.
Thalia fills Dean in on all that's been happening in the Eden, including Martin's crazy plan of ruining the world.
And, like, tribalism.
And the tribalism and the factions, and then that they can do telepathy, which...
Yeah, Dean's not good.
Dean's really, really bad at it.
He's very good at just broadcasting his thoughts.
Like, see, that's what I would be like if you got into my brain.
Boobs.
She's gonna kiss me. I used to want to kiss the girl gremlin with the lipstick. Talia is taller and has boobies. Triana had boobs. I wonder if all boobs are soft, or are some super extra soft. Do I just touch them, or should I ask? I really hope they haven't gotten all mutated. What if they drip acid now? And then I just
that's
like,
a what? Valid thought line, though.
Yeah, I know. And I like the just talk regular.
If you spend your time talking telepathically.
And it's in secret tongue. Excuse you. Use the proper term. To talk regular, it just sort of reminds me of...
We speak the common tongue.
Well, Jefferson, let me hand it to you with my magic powers. Why don't you hand it to me all regular?
Yeah.
Like, that...
It's the use of the word regular in this show.
In that sort of context. That's what gets me. But Monarch just feeding so much of this intel about the mutated students to Sheila, who's really trying to work out
how to fix this.
Meanwhile, the Monarch just wants to match it.
He wants a super mutant army.
A super mutant army of mutated butterfly. And I also like the comment that her voice gets all raspy if she doesn't get enough sleep. Like, yeah, okay.
I mean, it could get worse.
Could get worse. I don't know if it could get worse. That's the
thing. It can get worse.
It's not that tragic, though. No. Like, see, now it's just normal. Now it's all regular.
I knew you were going to say that.
But the idea also that Monarch is technically her boss, technically.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to do that.
You do not want to go there.
A lot of bullshit, I guess, has gone down to the point where they're now outside the Ray Shield lab, and Billy has called upon the crack team of Hank, Dermot, Pete, and 21, because there's a ransom note on the door proclaiming the 94 theses, and it's written in both Klingon and various elfish languages.
It's written in Sindarin.
Sindarin.
But it's not. It's actually written in Quenyan, because it's very similar to Sindarin. Because you've got, like, it's like high elvish and low elvish. Look, I spent too long learning grammatically correct Sindarin
for
various things.
I just want Billy and 21
to geek out together.
To be friends. I desperately want them to be
no,
friends.
No, do you know what I want?
What?
I want to be a fly on the wall at Billy and 21 watching Lord of the Rings together.
Well, I can one up you. Billy and 21, I don't know who else would be involved in a D&D campaign. You're welcome.
Dermot.
Dermot? You think Dermot would do D&D?
I think Dermot would, like, be that guy who's, like, unintentionally good at it. Like, he's like, oh, this is for nerds. But then he'd, like, actually really get into it.
Maybe. I don't know. But the gist of the 94 theses is the sun will rise on the children of Palamon with rays of global dominion.
Yeah.
Doc just wants to get his ray shield at this point. That's all he wants. But there's too much radiation in the lab, so they need to, like, decontaminate every fucking thing.
Everything.
And in one of those moments, we got 21 taking charge. He really is.
He's very good at what he does.
He really is capable. He's a really capable person.
Well, his doc isn't very good at this.
Because Doc isn't. So everyone gets a task. Pete and Billy are on decon. Hank and Dermot report strange activities. Doc works on reversing the mutations, and they have 24 hours.
That's a very tight deadline.
That is a very tight deadline to do all of that. And the fact that we're really now getting into the roots. Sergeant Hatred being whipped and asked what his name is.
Yeah. Just sink into that.
And Martin being the one doing the whipping.
Yeah.
And him trying to to see if Dean talks in silent tongue. To which Dean responds, is if he punches me, I might poop myself a little. I can feel some poop coming.
Well, the important thing is that Dean has challenged Martin.
Dean has challenged Martin to the Chatney Roo. Ruh? Roo? Ruh? I don't know what they fucking called it. Like, they made up this whole, like, that is art. It's art, really, what they...
Yeah.
What they've created here. Because they created a whole civilization for one specific episode that we're never going to see
full again. Tribal.
I know. We're never going to see this again. But talking Jackson, really, they went full in creating, like, this lore for this particular group of feral college students.
I mean, that's all college students, let's be completely honest.
Yeah, yeah. Agreeing to the challenge of the Chatney Ruh, and they
the Chatney Ruh is like their second.
Yeah. Oh, they need to the challenge for so it's a challenge for Lee Hun Tuk.
Yes. Which is whatever leader they have. And they must pick their Chatney Ruh or Chatney Ruh, depends on, you know, what's going on. But that is like their mentor or their second. For the fight.
Yeah. And Dean goes with the only other person who's not mutated there.
Who says his name?
Courtney.
Yeah.
Courtney Hatred. Well, Courtney Hain. He's Hain, right? That was his legal name. Because we've gotten like some little...
Yeah.
Little drops of his backstory. Because he was Sergeant Hain for OSI. Yeah. So Courtney Hayne.
Sergeant Courtney Hayne.
Yep. Can we talk about how Doc is just so goddamn useless?
Yeah. He's been playing Oregon Trail.
He's been running simulations, which are his simulations are
playing Oregon Trail.
And he's been sleeping. And the one thing they need to decon is something he obviously sold to St. Cloud, because why not?
Because that money had to come from somewhere.
Who is legally Billy's archenemy?
Welcome to the good guy team.
And he said that there's no chance because Paolo Salazar can solve the issue.
At least so we think.
Nice lead in to Dr. Mrs. Monarch explaining that she has Salazar's guild files because he was the topmost authority on genetic mutation.
And then oopsies. He made a whoopsie.
Yeah.
And then he became Paolo the Human Beetle.
Which then became Bugaboo, sealing various chemicals and other crazy things. And the crazy things that he stole as Bugaboo are what are needed to reverse.
He mutates someone.
Genetic mutation.
Monarch is into this.
I mean, it's a very it's very sort of the back and forth they have.
It's there. Very intimate.
It's very intimate, and it's hot. I'd say it's hot.
I'd be like, yeah, okay, desk.
And I like finish me. He just wants a handy, man. Just give him a handy.
I think he wants more than a handy.
Oh God, probably.
He's looking to do a little scientific experimentation, some genetic testing of his own.
So St. Cloud, he's watching his guild sanctioned instructional video, and we also sort of see his I don't know if we've seen his number two yet.
But we have now.
We have now PY, an Asian albino. The rarest.
Oh God.
I collect them now. Jesus.
What the hell?
I hate St. Cloud, but I love him. Like, it's just like
I love his costume.
Oh God, he's so great. He's such a great character. He's such a fucking good character. And we also get the big blundering, the Dr. Z blunder, which, if that's not quoted all the time, I don't know. Because it is within the fandom.
Oh yeah,
Blunda.
Look at all these missteps.
You have yourself a blunder.
Yeah.
Which we get more FaceTime with Dr. Z the next few seasons, which is awesome.
Do you love me some Dr. Z?
I love Dr. Z. I do. But every time St. Cloud talks, you gotta cringe just a little bit. A little boomski downstairs. And it doesn't get better. It only gets worse.
He vaguely reminds me of Edna Mode.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
it's the hair.
Worse. And also like the speech style.
The speech. Yeah. It's
the speech combined with the hair. And I know there's an actual designer that Edna Mode is based off of, but I cannot remember her name, and I'm so sorry.
I can't either.
I will insert it here.
Anna Wintour.
So, St. Cloud's house is kind of just a museum of
really pop culture stuff.
Artifacts. In fact, if you go on Reddit, I don't know if he's still doing it, but a guy for a long time, I think he may have stopped because he finally had done it for a year. Was doing St. Cloud adds to his collection every day. And it was various show props and things like, you know, TARDIS think he had gotten Enterprise in there, like, you know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was just sort of like Where's Waldo of pop culture nonsense. And I think it got to a point where he was running out of room. I don't know if he's still doing it, but on the Reddit for the Venture Brothers, you can find St. Cloud adds to his collection every day. And PY is normally hidden amongst all of it.
It's like a Where's Waldo.
It's a Where's Waldo, but with an Asian albino.
God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which, who has also a really good haircut. But he's knocked over the staff of Ra. The fact that St. Cloud has that, of course he does.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he also has bulletproof glass. Steve Jobs was a friend. And he, I guess they also, St. Cloud has a corpse flower.
Slagathor.
Slagathor?
Slagathor.
Slagathor. I like how Pete thinks it could have been Billy who crapped himself because he was so excited.
I mean, it's a mood.
I mean, it's a mood.
The fact that, good mood.
Yeah. He's a corpse flower hybrid, who is, and it's a cutting from the plant from the 1957 movie Voodoo Island, which had Adam West in it. So that's great.
It's kind of one of those just beautiful things that you're like, this is some dedication. He's named it Slagathor, for heaven's sake.
Yeah.
He hasn't trained.
So 21 is still running everything at the compound. Hank and Dermot inform him that they're pretty sure the big orange guys are eating everyone. And also that they could probably just run across the yard screaming when they escape. And Hank could probably make himself pee, and no one wants to eat a guy covered in pee. Dr. Venture is having not a push. You're welcome for that foul phrase now being in your lexicon.
Yeah.
But soaking his bunions, but he also has an antidote, so it's okay.
At least he hopes so.
And Pete and Billy are nowhere to be found, but Sergeant Hatred is on the line, and that is how everyone knows that, finds out that Hatred
Dean has challenged.
Dean are inside, and any time is a good time for a fucking rescue.
Yeah.
Just every time St. Cloud talks, though, his albino assistant / sidekick PY. He's an Asian albino, making him rarer than your run-of-the-mill albino. And when Billy asks for the floating platform, he gets told it'd be
$1.
$1. Eat the pennies. That line.
The obsession with pennies in this show.
That line, though. The
eat the pennies.
The can of pennies. Eat the pennies. The way it is, just that exchange. It gets Billy, eat the pennies. It's just pennies. You poop pennies, big deal. Like, that whole exchange gets quoted all of the time. All of the time. Just the back and forth, eat the pennies. I won't eat the pennies. Eat the pennies, quiz boy. Eat the pennies. I won't eat pennies. And the fact that he gets super offended that Billy is called, he's called Billy's sidekick too. Just eat the damn pennies. You? Yeah. Also, I guess Rusty Souls.
Yeah.
He's desperate for money, man. I mean,
he sold Helper, though.
That's just cold.
That is heartless.
And Billy offers a solution to their problems. A one-question trivia contest. They were both quiz boys.
Let them quiz again.
Let them quiz again, especially if they have Pete there. And St. Cog gets Pete if he wins. He's collecting albinos now.
What the hell?
I love St. Cloud. He's so great. He's so great. And also, I like that he has a recreated set from Quiz Boys.
The whole thing.
A whole thing. And before we get there, we got to go back to the battle for the Lee Hun Took. Since Dean is the challenger, he gets to pick. And he picks the Way of the Indian, which includes an
brilliant playground things.
Indian Sunburn, Indian Feast, and Indian Leg Wrestling. Dean wins all three, and he is the Lee Hunt Hook.
As a, have you ever done, we called it a snake bite.
Oh, no, yeah. No, I've done the, I've done all of those. Yeah.
Yeah.
These are just playground. Like, and it shows sort of like Dean's, again, the naivety that he has.
But also the fact that he has retained that. And that brings him victory.
The way of the Indian. We get the new edition of Quiz Boys. It's a question they've agreed on. How many robots are in the robot cabinet with Helper? St. Cloud buzzes in first, and he answers wrong, because there are five. Billy corrects him and tells him there are four. And when you name out the robots, they are Nomad, one, Helper, two, the walking eye that's part of Helper, three, Tweaky, four, and Dr. Theropolis around Tweaky's neck, five.
But Nomad isn't a robot.
No, he is never once called a robot on the episode of Star Trek. He is referred to as a probe, but not a robot. He's referred to as a probe,
a thinking machine.
A vessel, I think, but not...
Not a robot.
Not a robot. So, it's four. And then I love that Billy shouts to St. Cloud that he must sterilize.
Just so much sci-fi reference. My poor brain.
Uh-huh.
My poor geeky brain is just melting in joy. They get everything.
They get everything. They get Helper back and the platform.
But they have... They can do it in 3 hours.
They could do it in 3 hours. Come on. We can decon everything.
Yeah, an hour and a half.
Yeah, and slight problem. Hatred and Dean are in there. So.
Oops.
And I deciphered the 94 Theses. It's kind of a Bible complete with a nutty apocalypse called the Second Age.
They want to turn the whole world into mutants.
And I like that the one big takeaway that Dr. Venture takes from it is... No, you're saying they finished my ray shield. Best news I've heard all day. And 21 makes the comment that I want you to keep in mind.
Yeah.
Don't take this as an insult, but working for you and the Monarch is kind of the same thing. Remember this.
Yes. Pinned to the mental billboard.
And I like that they're setting it up to pump it through the AC.
Yeah.
At 4:30. And meanwhile, Dr. Mrs. Monarch has also
made her own antidote.
More into her own, like, actual antidote that's not awful.
Yeah.
Because the one that Venture made was not an antidote at all.
No,
antibiotics. It's like antibiotics, like
narcotics and roofies.
And roofies. So, you know, if they aren't cured, they'll be wicked toasty at least. And they'll wake up with a hankering for Cheetos. But, you know, Sheila's actually a decent scientist, so she has this under control. You know, just put a bunch of butterflies with venom that is the antidote.
Venomous butterflies.
Like an evil, mighty push, which we're back there with that awful.
Can we stop saying push?
No. No, I'm going to call it that from now on. I'm taking a push.
No, the movement.
A movement. A mighty movement.
Which is almost worse.
It's almost worse. I know.
And you know, you know what the worst thing is? The umbilical pipe. I hate it.
Yep, I know.
I hate that. I hate that word.
And I like that Pete's like, well, technically we own Helper. We could keep Helper.
No.
They could keep the platform. To which Billy tells him he doesn't even play with Robobo anymore.
No more androids. Get a cat.
Get a cat. Which is, you know, great. They're super scientists. They're living the dream. They could totally decon in 90 minutes.
Oh, yeah. They have the power.
They have the power. So there's, I guess they've established kind of an Ewok village.
Which is kind of badass.
Complete with their own Yub Nub song.
Yeah.
So great. So great. Like, that's like one of my biggest issues with like the re-edits.
Oh, yeah, that they took out Yub Yub.
that they took out Yub Nub.
Yeah. How dare?
How dare you? How dare you remove that from me?
We do have a VHS kept copy with the original.
Same. I do as well.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah, you need it. And Dean, you know, doesn't really want to be the new leader. But I mean,
but he gets Talia.
You get Talia and they'll make out and stuff.
He might even get to touch her boobies.
As long as you don't speak in silent tongue. I like, and of course, like right in the middle of all this chaos, the cocoon's showing up. So that's a headache.
At the same time as Pete and Billy.
At the same time as Pete and Billy, which that's, a new headache for 21 to deal with. Oh, and yeah. I like how they use the Moppets set up stacked on top of each other to
breach the cocoon or breach the Eden.
Breach the Eden, because two arms, two sets of arms. It's well done, guys. Well done.
Oh yeah.
The umbilical pipe, though, you know.
I Moppets, hate that word.
That's their job is to secure it and leave.
And they do.
And they do, despite being caught by 21.
The butterflies are away.
And at the same time, the clock strikes 4:30 and the green gas is also entering the Eden. And they're not making me. And that is, I like how the Monarch also just realizes that
he's not getting Nisbet warriors.
No, his wife has cured them. And Paolo Salazar is there. And he's no longer the foremost expert on reversing genetic mutation.
But, and I mean, can you imagine if the cocoon had gone tribal?
Yeah, and I like that she says, you don't actually want a cocoon full of freaks. You don't fight fire with fire, you fight it with water. And so he still wins.
He still won. He technically still won.
Oh, and then... In great backfiring, the umbilical
pipe
into the cocoon is now being pumped full of the narcotics.
Wee! Fly away.
Yeah. And the ratio, gets to JJ. That's the big takeaway.
Yeah.
And the antidote worked because everyone's cured. Billy can't believe it worked, and Doc can't either because it's mostly antibiotics and roofie.
Everybody's higher than a goddamn kite.
Higher than a kite, stumbling out, including Dean, and no one remembers anything.
Or they kind of remember it, but not really.
Yeah, I like Talia. I think something untoward happened in there. What was it? and then I like Hank saying, check your watch.
Yeah, surprise.
Works for me sometimes because Dean feels like he made out with her.
Which he did.
But yeah, Hank's like, yeah, it works for me sometimes.
I mean, he also remembers to leave himself video messages.
Yeah. When he has sex. Yes. And the ending note of the episode. So the antidote did not fix the tit problem. So that's an issue left.
So that's something else.
So something else is causing hatred to have boobs.
Some big, massive gazongers as well.
Yeah, they're yeah, yeah.
Those are some big old bitties.
Tig old bitties. So they didn't pull away the pipe fast enough.
Yeah.
The end credits thing. We get probably one of my favorites.
It's so cute.
It's adorable. I really love them. They're such a lovely, cute couple.
It's so adorable.
And I like, you're so awesome. You're like, so awesome. You're like my best friend. And the off-kilter blink too.
It's so cute.
It's so good. They're all high. They are high. They have been hotboxing that gas. Which concludes this big old
episode.
These tig old bitties of an episode. In that great.
Yeah.
In that neat. And thus the start of season 5 has begun. Join us next time as we look at Venture Libre, which
my body is ready.
I'm excited about. And I don't know why it ranks low on people's lists of episodes because I, for one, love Venture Stein.
Well, we will have a chance to discuss that.
Yeah. End it the way we normally do?
I think we shall. Go Team Venture.
We love you guys.
Have a great night.